Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm Gina Libby, and welcome to the Weigh In with Gina podcast.
Let's get this party started.
That's not just about weight loss.
I would like starve myself all day.
It's about diving deeper into the things that shape your everyday.
You're not a failure. It's the diets that failed you.
We also include amazing guests and celebrity interviews where we're not afraid to have real conversations and break it all down.
Motivating people to be mindful about, yes, their diet, that's the first step. But I'll tell you, the level up step is being mindful about every other aspect of your life.
And of course, I'll be weighing in on a variety of topics, anything and everything, health, wellness, and weight loss related.
To me, non-negotiables are promises to yourself, and they are going to help you reach your goals, better your life.
This podcast is hosted on Acast, but it's available on all platforms, like the one you're listening to right now, Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. Welcome to a brand new series on Weigh In with Gina that we are calling Chew the Fat. In this series, we hope to offer a plate full of insights, tips, and a few laughs for you to chew on by talking to some incredible guests who exist both inside and outside the vast world of weight loss. From fad diets to mindful eating, we're slicing through the fat to bring you the juiciest bits of advice. The goal is to have meaningful discussions about health and well-being, so settle in and get ready to chew the fat with today's guest. My guest today, I'm actually a huge fan of. I came across his social media account a few years ago, and I've been following him ever since. Not only does he give out amazing health and wellness advice, but he does it with like this sense of humor and realness that is right up my alley. Welcome to the show today, Kyle Buchanan. Hello.
Hi, Gina. Thanks for having me, and way to rev me up. Flying high. Gonna give me a big head.
True story, though. True story. I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there giving advice online. Yeah. And I know you do more than that. You are the host of Canada's The Morning Show. You have a podcast. You're so freely sharing information, and you can tell it's so authentic. And I find that's very rare these days where people are actually trying to be authentic. And you can tell you're sharing just for the greater good.
Well, I really appreciate that. I try to do my best. I get so pet peeved by a lot of things online. So I try to be not that. And I can only be myself, but I'm equally a fan of yours. You know, you're a light. You came on my podcast and you were just so authentic. And I know we haven't known each other that long and it's mostly social media, but I'm just so proud of you for what you put out into this world and all your success and the thousands of people that you've helped. So the feeling goes both ways. I'm a big fan.
Aw, well, that's really nice. Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
So you have this concept or this idea of feel good, do good. I love that. What do you mean by this?
I mean, at the end of the day, how we feel on a given day influences how we experience that day and subsequently what we get out of that day. And I know it might sound extremely obvious, but when you feel good, life's a happier place to be. You know, you perform better, you enjoy things more, the little things don't take you down as much. And when you feel good, you actually have the gumption and the energy, because you don't feel like crap, to do good for yourself and for others. So it really is this, that it's sort of common sense, but it's also worth noting that, you know, because a lot of us go through our days, I went through a lot of days like that, just feeling kind of meh, not bad, fine. Our brains are kind of wired to be the negative. So it's just reminding us that, oh, right, feeling good actually feels good. And there's a reason I want to take steps to feel that way every single day.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of make it your mission to help other people recognize when they're not feeling good and give them tips for feeling good. And it's authentic. Where does this passion that you have for helping people come from?
I think The passion for like the health and wellness and nutrition side, I think comes from seeing things actually work in real time, mm-hmm. work for me, work for others. I think the helping people, and I was thinking about this, I think the helping people part comes from a combination of knowing what it's like to feel like crap and not like mm-hmm. myself and feel shame and feel less than and feel that way for a long time and genuinely not wanting other people to feel that way.
Yeah,
I don't like when people feel less than. I don't like when people shoot themselves down. I don't, you know, I resonate with the anxious folk. These are the people who tend to feel less than on a daily basis or anxious or hard on themselves. Those are my people. So I know what it feels that to feel that way. And I don't want other people to feel that.
Well, I feel the same. And it's not tied into success or anything like that either. You can be really successful and feel anxious and feel unworthy and feel insecure for a variety of reasons. I just, Absolutely. You know. Okay, so let's talk about that because, you know, I run an online weight loss program. I help people lose weight. We have these kind of conversations all the time, which is why I'm so excited to have you as a guest. But I know you had your own – so before we get into that, I know you had your own journey with weight loss. Can we get into that? Can we talk about that?
Absolutely. You know, weight loss and weight management and weight is it's a big part of my story. You know, I was an overweight kid. I was, you know, 200 pounds in grade 7 and I was bullied a lot for it. I hit the scale. I would weigh myself every single day and it would just go up and up and I was just so unhappy, but I was bullied a lot growing up. You know, two big, like, I always call it, like, the bully moments. What stands out in your, you know, bully kind of repertoire? And there was two moments that really stood out to me and kind of, unfortunately, were the initiations for the change, which doesn't come from a good place, but it's my story. One was being on the school bus in the country. I'm from Orangeville, which is like a small town-ish. It's not small anymore, like anything around Toronto. It's now huge. But I was from this little town called Orangeville, and my bully on the school bus would call me fudge packer, which to be fair, I just learned what that meant 10 years ago. I'm really glad it's not, it's a really derogatory gay term, but
it is,
it's terrible, but I'm happy. I thought what it was at the time, even though it was terrible, I thought I must love fudge so much that I work at a fudge factory. So I get the fudge for free, like a perk of working at a fudge factory. So I was like, oh, you're mean. I didn't know how mean, but he's in jail now. So it's great. It's,
okay. You
know, I wish him well. I wish him love, but it's still just a little bit, okay. So that was the one. And then the other moment, the other like little thing in my head is being at Christmas dinner and it was a kind of buffet style. So all the family was lining up and I was standing in line for food and my cousin, you know, wisecracking, hilarious cousin said something to the effect of everyone better get in front of me. Otherwise all the food's going to be gone. And everyone laughed and it was funny. But that almost hurt more than the fudge packer part.
Yeah.
But so that was kind of my initiation to like, oh, I'm tired of being bullied and tired of this. So in high school, I started taking steps with my mom worked as a personal trainer. So she helped me kind of understand food a little bit more. And I started exercising more, but I was still at that reward of food stage where I would exercise, but then go to McDonald's to get, you know, a supersized fries and a supersized Sprite. Because at the time, that was the genius business model that McDonald's was making. So I would get a Big Mac and fries and do that. So it was a long time before the weight changed. But when I started doing things a little bit differently, I lost the weight in high school. And then started kind of going the other way and went a little too skinny. I was really being restrictive. So it was an unhealthy relationship with food in a different way. And then sort of normalized. But then in my early 20s, when I was coming to terms with, you know, who I was and my sexuality, I started escaping with food and booze. And when you're hungover, you don't make the best food choices. So my weight started to climb up again and I went the other direction again. And then eventually started loving myself more and being more compassionate with myself, and then went back to school, studied nutrition, and then figured out a way of eating and lifestyle and self-love that worked for me, and things kind of evened out. But weights and weight loss is something close to my heart.
What was that? So you just like, what caused you to decide to go into nutrition and pursue that?
So it's so funny because I was in the acting world. I was doing television shows and commercials and things like that. and I really was getting to the point of not liking it anymore. It's a lot of rejection. And then one day in an audition waiting room, which if you've ever been in any one of those, it's like the Wild West. It's filled with egos and fragility and people sizing each other up and, oh, what are you working on? And so I just kind of had this moment, you know, you have those out of body experiences where you're watching yourself and you're like, oh, this isn't serving me anymore.
Yeah.
So it was a hard decision, but I took a step back and then I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was working in a tea shop one day, and in my spare time, I would go on things like Mind Body Green. And I had started experimenting with like health hacks, mostly to combat my anxiety. So I would learn about like Rescue Remedy, which is a flower essence that would help me feel calmer in auditions. And I would go on Mind Body Green, the health website, and kind of read. But I never really thought of it as a passion because it was kind of ingrained since I first went on the journey when I was in my, you know, early high school days. And yeah. I was working in a tea shop, David's Tea, which is still around online, but it was a charming little tea shop. When I started learning about all the different teas and their benefits, and I was talking to someone who was a regular and giving him advice on which tea and what the benefits are. And he's like, you sound like you know a lot about this, like you kind of like it. And it was one of those stupid things that, you know, it was right in front of me the whole time that this might actually be a passion, this nutrition, health and wellness thing. But it took a lovely gentleman saying, you might like this. And I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, do you think you might want to study this? And I was like, yeah. So I went back to school and really kind of delved into the world of natural medicine and nutrition as, you know, a root tool for people to use. And that was kind of like the eyes were open.
Just listening, I think you and I swear we're kind of like kindred spirits. I mean, we're like a same story, but different. I didn't have a weight issue growing up when I was younger, but when I was in university, my weight, and I was working at a gym and I was working out and I was personal training. And I think about stress and lack of sleep. And my weight went up to like, I don't know, 220, 250 pounds, something crazy like that. And I didn't think too much about it until some guy said to me after the bar one night, was like, oh, look at that girl. Her legs are like the size of tree trunks. Cause I was like standing up against a tree. And that like really, I was like, yeah, maybe he's
charming.
In jail now too. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I hope so. Maybe they're roommates. That would be amazing. He's like, yeah, I bullied this kid named Kyle. And the other guy's like, yeah, I bullied this girl named Gina. They're both kind of successful now and we're here. So,
right.
I'm
glad that it happened because it kind of set me down this mission of trying to figure out like, you know, I'm exercising, I'm eating hardly anything. Why am I not losing weight? And then, you know, fast forward, I moved to the city and I was actually working in TV. I definitely wasn't doing acting because my acting skills are not great, but I was a sportscaster. I was like hosting like the 6 o'clock news program. I was like, yeah, I was a sports anchor. Crazy. And who let me do that, first of all?
I'm sure you
and,
were great.
Are there
clips of it like on YouTube, the sports news?
So I'm that old that there are not clips of it on YouTube or anywhere. I was one of the first, before Catherine Humphreys, I was one of the first female sportscasters in Canada, if you can believe it.
That's huge.
It's so crazy when I say it out loud. Anyway, I realized it wasn't for me.
Right.
I realized it wasn't for me. And that's where I sort of got into, you know, pairing my passion of, oh, I've always been helping people with fitness. And, you know, then after losing weight myself, I'm like, let's kind of meld the two. And, you know, I've been doing it ever since. But
well, and you do it well. And I think it's so funny. Like, I love the hindsight and looking back and seeing how the puzzle pieces were kind of, because even when we're, I think it's so easy for all of us to feel lost any day. And it's so easy to feel like you're off course or you're doing the wrong things or you've made mistakes and you're not where you should be. It's just so easy to think that. But when you look back at a time when you were probably also in that place, you're like, no, that was leading you. Trust, little one. You need to trust that you're on the right path. And I think I love seeing people's puzzle pieces work together because we're all like these little puzzles that eventually make sense in the end. But a lot of similarities. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I have no regrets. Been through a lot of things happened, but I wouldn't change any of it because I'm really excited with where I'm at right now. Okay, speaking of right now, I want to, given what you do, can we talk about the diet industry for a second?
Yes, yes.
Thoughts, past, present, where it's going?
It's been a big swing lately. So I think, you know, the diet industry of the past was more extreme. And it was also more mainstream. It was more accepted because we were just talking about this the other day about the Perez Hilton days. I'm talking early, like when I was kind of in the, you know, learning about nutrition and looking at myself in the mirror. It was, you know, early 2000s that, and that was the Perez Hilton days when he would circle people's problem areas and make fun of them for being fat.
Yeah.
And I have friends that are work in entertainment and they worked on those entertainment shows. And they were like, no, that those got the viewers. We were encouraged to bash people and talk about people's weight gain or lack there. And it was such, and I contributed because I would go on that site every single day. So Same. It was right.
Or Pink is the new, what was the other one? Some Trent guy. Pink is the new black, I think how it started. But it was like, that was a huge tabloid era. The paparazzi and the tabloids. Yeah. And I remember grabbing their rag magazines. I don't think they call them rag magazines. I'm showing my age.
I don't know. I think it could still be a thing. I'm not entirely sure though. But it was that time. It was this extremely toxic time that we all just accepted as true. Yeah. And when it comes to the diet industry and the weight loss and all the extreme diets were worshipped. And even when it comes to like things on morning television, the experts would talk about the latest trends and how you can achieve these drastic weight loss too. And nowadays you don't really, at least, you know, the shows that I've worked on, you don't really talk about diet or weight loss at all anymore. Like it's something you don't talk about. So there was this swing happened where we kind of got a more collective understanding that these extreme diets don't work, but kind of crept the other way where it's like any form of weight management or weight loss isn't healthy and it's showing that you don't love your body. And, you know, when you were on my podcast, you raised a brilliant point that the two were intertwined and they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. So we're at an interesting time right now, I think, where it's like we're still it's swinging a little bit back, but it's still very separate of body positivity and weight loss being two. You cannot have the same. You cannot have them in the same sentence. So I think we're getting in the right direction. I think the future of the industry is more nuanced and balanced. And I think people like you leading the industry are going to really spearhead that and make it more mainstream and make it healthy. That's where I see the future of it. In addition to a big focus on probably microbiome health, because I know that's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
And certain bacteria. So cool. It's really interesting. You know, there's a keystone bacteria that was just discovered. It's always been there, but it's just discovered in 2010 called Acromantia mucinophila. Have you heard about this bacteria?
No, but so is that the probiotics that they're gearing towards weight loss?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Or the microbiome that they're
thinking
really help people with weight loss.
It's really hard because it's like it's in theory it makes sense, and some mice models they've figured it out, but it's not carrying over yet. But it's this really interesting bacteria that lives in our mucus and eats mucus, and then produces substances that help other bacteria grow. And there is a correlation or association between people who have low levels of this acromantia and obesity. So it's interesting. So I think it's going to be more specific with microbiome and hopefully a more balanced approach with people like you.
It's also fucking complicated.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's complicated and contradicting. And I think it'll be a ways off before there's a magic pill. I don't think there'll ever be a magic pill, but it's close to like a probiotic that actually is, because you can take a probiotic, but there's no guarantee it'll survive in your gut or that your other, because we're all these little biological snowflakes. We have these different bacteria that will compete. And so there's never an even playing field. We're all these different little snowflakes.
Well, especially when it goes, when we're talking about weight loss, because like you lost weight. That was, I'm sure, a game changer in your life. I lost weight. That was a game changer in my life. And I was thinking as you're talking back, you know, the old, when it was cool to talk about diets, you know, Dr. Oz every week had a special pill or something. The Biggest Loser. Remember those extreme makeover shows?
Those shows, my God. Can you, like... And the thing that gets me is that it was not long ago. We're like, weren't they crazy back then? And it's like, no, that was like 3 years ago. It was a little longer than that. But it's still like, we're so evolved now. We're like, that was awful, wasn't it? And it's like, no, it's probably, people probably still have that show on their PVR. That's how recent it was.
Yeah.
Biggest Loser, I watched Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. Mm. That was my show with lovely host and everything. But it was so, and it just exemplified the problem that it's, and also made it easier for like family people to say, oh, these people lost weight in, you know, 6 weeks. It's clearly possible. Why aren't you doing it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it's impossible. And also look at, you know, a lot of the people that won now, like they rebounded a lot because it's just not sustainable, but it made good TV and they made a lot of money.
I remember screaming at The Biggest Loser because you'd have like people who were really big and they were really working out really hard and trying really hard. And then they would get on the scale and their weight would be up or not down. And I'd be like, and then they'd be like blaming them on donuts. And I'm like, they're overtraining. They're not eating enough. Like, what can't you grasp about that? I used to just rage.
Like, you should have written in. Did you write in ever? Just get your, I'm just like, I always admire the people that actually take the time to write in, because maybe sometimes they see it, sometimes they don't, but it takes a certain type of frustration to go and actually write in. But it's, I would get frustrated too. And the people that are, I know they had different personalities in terms of trainers, but there were some hardcore trainers on there and a lot of shaming, a lot of that kind of stuff, which I didn't really like.
Yeah. As you know, the things that people say, they stick with you. They affect you.
Oh, exactly. I wonder how some of those contestants are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we know. We probably know how they're doing. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, health and wellness, it's complicated. It is, because it's so much more than what we thought it was, you know, especially weight loss, eat less, exercise more. We know it's so much more complicated than that. It has to do, you know, for some people, it's like you said, digestive health or microbiome, it's their hormones, it's, you know, food sensitivities. It's there are so many things that then lead into inflammation. And then you add the mental part of that, issues and associations and habits and beliefs and all of that. And I know you are trying to educate people and just try to give them some tips to not just, you know, like just get by in life, but, you know, actually make a difference. And I know one of the ways you do that is through your morning show called The Morning Show, which is really cool. But also you're on social media.
Yeah.
And so I find it's like the Wild West. It's just like polarizing information and clickbait fucking city. Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should be clickbaity because I got some good shit and I just need people to read it. But man, can we talk about that? Can we talk? I know we have a little talk coming up later on a rant, but can we rant about that for a little bit right now?
The clickbait, you mean, and the overwhelming information and all the contradicting information?
Well, there's a lot of that, but do you actually, like, do you feel that because people have access to more information than ever, do you actually feel, and you and I are, we're contributing to this, do you feel like it's actually helping people or it's hurting people or it's confusing people? What do you think?
It's a really, really good question. And I think more information is better than less information. So I am glad the information is there.
Okay.
The abundance of it and the overwhelming factor is another thing. Because I think it's not overwhelming at first. You know, when we first go on social media, it's that first kind of hit of dopamine. So everything that we see in that first 5 minutes seems accessible and kind of makes sense and motivating to us, and depending on the advice, of course. And then the more we go on social media, the longer those minutes go and the hours we're on it, that's when we see all the polarizing different information. And that's where the decision fatigue sets in. And that's where we become paralyzed, where it's like, we don't know what to do. Everyone is so sure that their way is the way and every other way is bad. It's just paralyzing and nothing changes. And it's easy to think that, well, what's the point? Because I clearly cannot do anything right. I might as well just stay the course because all these experts tell me different things. So I don't know. It's overwhelming. And I think it's overwhelming and frustrating. It's just a matter of finding your people on social media and sticking with them instead of always going to the buffet of conflicting opinions, you know?
Yeah, because sometimes I'll go down that rabbit hole and I'll be like, okay, no. I just kind of like, no. Like,
yeah. And I feel bad. Like when you said, like, I wonder if I should go the clickbait route. I wonder that sometimes to myself, because that's unfortunately for people who want to make a living. If you take any marketing course, if you take any online social media course, they tell you to be polarizing. They say, if you want to be successful and make money, you need to have an opinion and you need to go hard on it. So I feel kind of heartbroken because we're all kind of collectively trained to do clickbait. But I, for myself, I don't feel authentic doing that. And if that means I don't have as many followers, that's okay. I don't want What I really can't stand is the videos where experts take videos of other people talking and they kind of make fun of them as they're talking. That bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I just see it as bullying a little bit. I know sometimes people are giving really harmful information and sometimes it's necessary. Most of the time it's not. It's just a matter of clickbaiting. And also when you stitch with another person, you'll get more views and more likes. So it's part of the machine that we're all involved with. It's part of the game that we're playing. So it's frustrating.
Someone do that with a video. I mean, it was like a few second clip. Like back in the day, you only had a really, I mean, still the same, but a little bit longer now, limited amount of time to like get a tip across. And I'd said something about working out or whatever, you know, in context to people doing my program, which obviously exercise is, you know, a huge compliment. Exercise is amazing. Yeah. I was a personal trainer for most of my life. I got nothing bad to say about exercise. But when it comes to, you know, what you're trying to achieve and you're looking to lose weight, there are ways that you can kind of, you know, tailor your exercise to meet your needs as opposed to trying to put on a lot of muscle at the same time you're trying to lose weight or whatever. And some fucking muscle head, you know, did some stitch with me of like, oh, what does she know? And look at her and she's this. And I was just like, oh my God.
Were you?
You need to chill, dude.
You do need to chill. Was that your first reaction? Because for me, I'd like to think that I would be like, oh, ridiculous. But I would be hurt and I would be upset by it. Were you upset at the time?
Because I wanted to explain that there's context behind what I was saying. Because I don't want to put out crazy pants, wackadoo information out there, yeah. You know? Oh, I spent like 5 minutes on TikTok before I was like, I'm out. This is like, I did something on like, I don't know, like supplements that can help with weight loss, you know? And yeah. So, you know, magnesium, omega-3, vitamin D. And of course, like the people came out, you can't tell people they can lose weight if they take these supplements. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what I said. And it's funny because you want to go on and start to like defend yourself, but then there'll be more comments and people are like, don't defend yourself. You have nothing to do. You don't owe them anything. It's like, yeah, but I just, so I'm left to sit in this discomfort, just hope that people understand that it's context. It's, I was on TikTok, you know, I did a TikTok. I'm not really active on TikTok, but I did a couple that went, you know, like a half a million, like it's always the ones you don't really care about that go viral. And it was about the Dirty Dozen. And I'm not like a stickler for organic. I was just sharing that the new Dirty Dozen came out, which is the list of the 12 foods least contaminated with pesticides. It's a conversation. And there were so many people that were tagging doctors or people to like counteract me. Like they're like, oh, like getting like clickbaiting the other doctors to go and stitch me essentially and say why I'm wrong. I'm like, so you're not only trolling me, you're asking your friend trolls to troll me as well. So I don't understand. It's nauseating. If I want to get in a bad mood, I will read the comment section of anything. Anywhere you go, I will it's the worst. It's the worst of us. It really is the worst of us. Not necessarily the worst people. It's just the worst actions that happen on the comment section. And it doesn't help anything. So it's very, social media is great, but also it's easily, like it's great at first and then easily harmful.
Somewhat depressing.
You get a five minute grace. And then, cause even like when I'm on, like the first hit of the day, I kind of feel good going on social media and it's the same thing. I don't learn my lesson. Cause then as the day goes on, there's no sense of joy when I'm scrolling on social media at night.
Yeah.
You know, our dopamine's been exhausted and you're overwhelmed and you go to bed and then we start all over again.
Yeah. But you've created a good little community on your socials. You have like your people who really enjoy. So let's talk about what you share and kind of what's your jam and what you are into. I mean, I could talk a little bit about it. You're just about like kind of common sense, really educating people on the most basic level, like giving them the tools that they need that are actually going to help them make a difference. But give us some examples of some of the things that you talk about on the morning show, you know, on your Instagram page. Yeah. And what are you looking for people to get out of that?
So I share essentially my whole thing is feel good, do good, but also like happier guts and calmer minds because I have a history with anxiety and like brain stuff. And I have a history of not so much digestive issues and bloat, but seeing how the two are interconnected. So a lot of the work that I do is providing tangible tips, things that are digestible, evidence-based that people can try on for size if they want. So at the end of the day, if it makes someone feel good and it's not dangerous, I'll talk about it or I'll break it down and explain this is the reasoning behind it. Not that you have to try it. Because with anything I do, whether we're talking about stuff on the morning show or I'm talking about things online, I never want it to seem like you have to do this. Like, this is the answer that you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
yeah. There's like, oh my gosh, there's so much of it. But if you want to try this on for size or just consider it, that's something you can go on. So like we talked about the concept of the path of least resistance last week, which is the idea that the more effort something takes, the less likely we are to start or stick with it. So I like the concept because it kind of calls us out a little bit. I like a little bit of punishment, a little bit of sass. It calls us out for how we work, but in knowing how our brains work, we can actually use it to our advantage and do things that are incrementally easier that lead to long-term success. So, for example, for some people, they want to give up caffeine or reduce their caffeine intake. But for whatever reason, the past, 2 years they've tried, it hasn't really worked. So some people decide to give up caffeine. So they go, I'm going to cut back and do 2 cups instead of 4. But the idea of having a fewer physical cups of coffee every day creates a little resistance. So nothing actually changes. And on the other side, some people want to do decaf coffee instead. So I'll do 2 cups of decaffeinated and 2 cups of decaf. But for whatever reason, our brains don't really count that decaf. So there's that resistance again. So nothing changes. So what works for some, the path of least resistance for some people, is every cup of coffee they have is to go half and half. Where if you make a pot of coffee, and this is the thing, it sounds simple, but it works for some people and actually results in successful reduction of caffeine, which ripples into a better night's sleep, less jitters throughout the day, and all around feeling better because you worked in a way that your brain works. So that's the kind of stuff I like talking about. I can talk about bloat and digestive health all day, the impact that, supporting your digestion and actually absorbing the food you're eating it can have on your entire system. So a lot of it is digestive, a lot of it's anxiety focused, but either way, it's all about tangible, bite-sized things, which I know sounds social media-wise, but we can only take bite-sized things sometimes in today's world.
Yeah, well, I wish I would have seen that clip or heard you talk about that like about a month ago. I quit drinking coffee. I just did cold fucking turkey. And
How is that? Because I also tried that in the beginning of January, and it lasted a day. A day and a half. But what was the journey for you? I'm just curious.
Well, I've quit wine and coffee. And a big part of that is more and more research that I'm doing on hormones. So last year was a really stressful year for me. I turned 50. My hormones were kind of out of whack, that thick middle. My weight was going up. And then my kid's dad died in the spring. So it was a lot. And stress was just kind of like stress and hormones and all of that. And, I know what to eat. I run a weight loss program. We're all talking about, it has a very balanced meal plan. We're all talking about nutrient-rich foods. I know what I needed to eat. I know what I needed to take supplement-wise. But I wasn't really taking my stress seriously, and I wasn't taking my sleep seriously. And so I was using wine to cope with my stress and coffee to keep me awake during the day. And both of them are really messing with my sleep, which of course, you don't get good sleep. It messes with your hormones. It messes with the way your body is, converting the foods that you're eating. Like it's just all connected. And so I cut the wine out first. And that doesn't mean that I don't have like a good old fashioned or, a cocktail every now and then. But I know wine is my, I love wine. It's my vice. So I haven't had any since November. And then coffee I cut out. And then I have to admit that I went to tea now that I think about it. So I went to tea and then I tried decaf coffee, just decaf coffee for a bit. And then I went to no coffee at all. And so I think I was probably irritable. It probably messed with me for a little bit, but now I'm like so solid in how I feel. And you get a taste of that good night's sleep. I mean, I also did some sleep hygiene stuff and stuff like that too, but it's been a game changer.
Good for you. Good for you. And it's so common and it's so hard for all of us because there is that, I always say like going from feeling mad to feeling good, it's not a straight line. You will not just like decide one day, there's ups and downs, challenges. It's like a squiggly line to get to that feel good, but it's getting over that hurdle where you're a little irritable and then you feel good. And then you get to that point. So it's easier to keep going and add on more things, but it's that in-between part. Good for you for taking those steps. Like I think wine is of course a really common vice for a lot of us. I like wine, but it does mess with your sleep and you don't really know until you take a break. until you take a decent break, because it's such a common thing to have a half a glass or a glass, and that still can affect your ability to get that deep restorative sleep when your brain cleans itself. So you're not able to fully reset when you always have a glass of wine with dinner. And the coffee is a very common one. What I have changed, that one hack I have been doing, is I've been putting L-theanine in my coffee, because L-theanine is, it's the amino acid in green tea that makes it so wonderful. And yeah.
What? You put it in your coffee? I mean, I take pills.
I take a pill. Lately, I like experimenting with myself and doing things. I notice a greater effect and this could be completely in my mind. I don't know if there's studies behind this, but I just put because it doesn't really taste like anything, but I'll put the capsule in my coffee and just blend it all together. It works a little bit better for me in terms of my jitteriness after. And they have found that, you know, L-theanine, the benefits of L-theanine really come in combination with with caffeine. So the L-theanine plus coffee for me has kind of been that kind of click that's made life a little bit better and life a little bit easier.
Oh, maybe I'll try that.
Yeah. So I've gotten you back on your coffee game. That'll be my claim. It'll be great. It's like, yeah, I was feeling good. And then I talked to Kyle and then I'm drinking coffee again and I can sleep and it'll be great.
I do love L-theanine though. I know those are like happy pills, you know. I do love that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I love your hacks, and I do actually listen to you. I picked up, because I was working on my sleep, you had like a little insomnia, or you couldn't sleep for a couple of days, and so you, it was St. Francis Herb Farm.
Yeah, what it was St. Francis. It's a product called Valericom. Valericom.
It tastes
a
lovely, like shit.
Doesn't
it's
it
horrible.
Though? Do you know why?
It smells, it stinks, it's gross.
It's awful. But I kind of like it.
It's not sexy on your best stand.
But because if you've ever smelled Valerian is, oh my gosh, it's strong. Valericom is a really wonderful product. It doesn't work for everyone because Valerian can go either way for some people. Some people get a stimulant effect from it. So same with peppermint. Peppermint, we hear it's really calming, but for some people it can have the opposite effects. So some people are, you know, they're taking those sleepy time teas, but a lot of them have peppermint in it and they say, you know, it's not really working for me. But if they just take all the herbs aside from that peppermint, it seems to work. So we're all kind of individual and it is about finding what works for you. But sleep is so underrated. Sleep and stress management, like you said, it's the two where we're kind of okay just being like, yeah, I'm under stress. I feel like crap, but at least I'm not sleeping. And it's kind of like this ongoing joke, but it really is. And a lot of times I try to repackage things in a way that kind of makes sense. But at the end of the day, how you sleep and how you manage stress, even though it sounds basic and people hear it, and when it's easier to roll your eyes at, it's harder a message to get across. But really, it makes such a difference to everything else. It has a ripple effect to everything. And stress has it's a terrible thing, because stress can actually shrink your brain. It makes you more stupid. And it can alter the composition of our microbiome. It can reduce the diversity in our gut, which is a key marker of a healthy microbiome. And it can foster a more negative environment for your bacteria to thrive. So it really is this terrible joke where I'm under stress, but at least it's doing awful things for me too. That's great.
Yeah.
So it really is. It's not woo woo. It's not something that you need to put in the back burner. It is serious, and taking steps each day to say no, do something that supports your self-care journey or your wellness journey, and doing things like breathwork and meditation, it does make a difference. And so does sleep.
Yeah. I mean, people used to wear stress like as a badge of honor, right? Oh. Like we collectively bonded over how stressed we are. And that's not cool.
It's not cool. And I think just like kind of the weight thing, we're in an interesting kind of in between where we're talking about mental health and how it's not good to be under so much stress. And I think during the pandemic, we all kind of had this collective moment of like, you know, when things go back to normal, we're not going to stress as much. We're going to take things slow. We're going to be okay. And then that habit didn't stick. We got right back into the swing of thing. But I hope in 5-10 years, it'll actually be more ingrained that it really isn't a good thing. And our actions match that.
Well, and people all of a sudden were doing nothing. They were at home doing nothing and they were more stressed than they ever were. So stress doesn't mean like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I don't have time for this, time for that. Like stress comes in many forms. Since we're kind of talking about it, I want to talk about, you share freely on your website, kylebuchanan.ca. You talk about your struggle with anxiety. And, you know, so many people, hello, me, especially after the pandemic. And now that I think about it, I probably had anxiety my entire life, but I come from a suck it up buttercup, like just do it, just, you know, get her done. Yeah. I'd be my dad, right? Like there's no race.
Dad thing, I think.
Such a dad thing. Yeah. And so I think I did a lot of things with anxiety, but I was just taught to get her done. So yeah. I got her done. And, you know, my mental health, my kids' mental, I see it reflected in my mental health, the mental health of my children. And I'm starting to see mental health in me and the conversations that I'm having with people. But you talk about anxiety. And so, you know, what are your words of inspiration for anyone working through anxiety, not just to like survive, but to actually thrive in life?
Yeah. I call anxiety like my oldest friend. She's been there since day one. Like my first memory is a panic attack. I would just cry like a 5 years old. And you know, I come from anxiety is in part genetic. Like a lot of my family deals with anxiety, especially on my mom's side. My grandma, bless her heart, she was focusing on this problem one day, and I overheard this conversation with my mom, and there was a big problem that got solved in my grandma's life. I forget the problem, but she was really upset. And mom's like, why are you upset? This is great. And my grandma said, well, now I don't know what I'm going to worry about. And like it was so ingrained that she needed to worry. So anxiety is so prevalent. So for me, I think if you deal with anxiety, it's really easy to feel out of control. And anxiety feels worse when you try to control the uncontrollable. There's a great book by a doctor named Gay Hendricks called The Big Leap. He wrote another book. It's a really wonderful book, but it really is anxiety gets that much worse when you try to control what you can't control. So really when it comes to thriving with anxiety, if you deal with it, it's about reminding yourself that you have more control than you think. And it's harnessing that anxious energy towards things you can actually control. And taking action instead of letting it live in your head. That's a good way in. So for me, if I'm anxious, I go over what can I control? I can control my breath, and that's where breath work, even though it's easy to say woo-woo and roll your eyes, it really makes a difference. You can control the rate of your speech. And this is a big one for me. So if you're anxious, you're going through an anxious spell, I tend to talk really fast. Your brain works a little faster, you're talking really fast, and that kind of only makes anxiety worse. But by knowing to slow down the rate of your speech, it sort of has this ripple effect on your entire system and you get that control back. So you can control your breath, the rate of speech, and a big one for me in the work that I do, you can control your nutrition and supplement game and recognize that that can actually serve a calmer foundation. So you approach life from a calmer vantage point. I always say with anxiety, it's not something that you're necessarily going to fix. It's not something that you'll be one day cured, but it doesn't have to ride in the driver's seat. It can be in the passenger seat where it's there and you're aware of it, but you feel grounded and calm enough to not let it overcome you. And you can approach from a more grounded standpoint.
Oh, I love that. That makes me feel calm and hopeful. How'd you get there? How'd you get to that point? How'd you get here right now to be able to even say that?
A lot of work, a lot of self. I'm a big fan of self-help books. I really like that was my way into this world. They don't all, you know, resonate with me, but I love the concept that we are in the driver's seat and we can make the changes. I, of course, seeking help and support is so important, but having the power within ourselves. And honestly, it's a lot of trial and error over the years of seeing what works and self-experimentation and seeing the difference of, you know, I know nutrition and I eat well, but I'm not a purist. I will allow myself to have a burger and fries, and I get slack for that for some reason in the purist world, which I don't have a ton of friends in the extreme natural health world, because I think I don't know, I just don't jive. But I do know that when my nutrition game is a little bit off and I've enjoyed myself and, you know, and enjoyed the burger and it's been a fun weekend and there was a little bit of partying and it was a great fun time, I know, and it's awareness that you might feel a little bit different. I know my anxiety is going to be a little worse. It's like when you're, and this is back to the, you know, crazy days. It's like when you're hungover. Anxiety tends to peak when you're hungover because it's a depressant. So there's a chemical reason I'm feeling anxious, but in knowing that there's a chemical reason and knowing that it's not me, it somehow takes the pressure off a little bit. It's just being aware of how your body works. That can be kind of the guiding light to get you over that anxious hump.
Ooh, that's why I stopped lost drinking my train of red wine. Completely. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to backtrack on a couple of things that you said there, but that's why I stopped. One of the reasons I stopped drinking red wine, and it was red wine specifically, the way I would feel the next day, kind of depressed, kind of anxious. Yeah. And then, you know, I can have like a, I don't know, I can have like a gin and tonic, or I can have a whatever other type of drink, and I don't feel the same way. It was something about that red wine that made me feel so anxious. I want to circle back to a couple of things. One of the things you can't control is people's opinions, especially when you lose weight or you're trying to make change in your life. Do you have any advice? Because, you know, people who listen to me, they're on the pursuit of change. Well, I love making change. I do. I love change. I'm always in the pursuit of something. I love growing. I love evolving. A lot of people who listen to me are trying to lose weight and make change. And we talked earlier about the state of the diet industry. Right now, it's not the coolest thing to talk about. And for everyone who wants to lose weight, you know, because we know people are trying to lose weight because the diet industry just keeps, you know, just making more money and more money, more money. You know, it's like people can't talk about it. And then when they are successful, people assume that they're doing it in some crazy wackadoo way. How you lost your weight, both you and I had, you know, people say stuff to us. How do you deal with the weird shit people say to you when it comes to your weight or trying to eat healthy or trying to make any kind of change?
Everyone, well, especially in today's world of social media, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to be a know-it-all nowadays. Yeah. It's a frustrating thing. And I think whether it comes to weight loss opinions or alternative health opinions, when people are trying to give you their opinion, it's really easy to want to defend yourself and explain everything, especially if someone is being a know-it-all and comes from a point of superiority. Because you know how there's those people that are just confident, but they're so confident that you take what they say as fact, or suddenly you're less than, you're like, oh, maybe they are right just because of the way they present themselves.
Yeah, you question your own self. I'm not doing the right thing. Maybe I, you know, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think one line I love is interesting. Interesting. Great. Oh, that's great for them. You don't have to match people. And I think it's something that comes, it's easier the older I get. I feel less of a need to defend myself. I have nothing to prove, you know? So I think one of the line, you know, that's great for them. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. You can let people talk and not partake. And it's hard to do if it's know-it-all in the family. It's hard. But your time and your attention are two of your most valuable assets. And for someone to take that and to make you feel like crap, that's not something I'm willing to do. So I think really being aware that you can let people talk without, and you can chime in and make them feel important and make them feel heard. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you don't have to defend, because, you know when to have the conversation and know when not to have the conversation, because it's a good conversation if they're coming at it from love. And you know those conversations, you know, there's the people that you feel safe with, that you can say your opinion to without fear of repercussion or a talking to or anything like that. Those conversations are rare. So save your wonderful brain for those conversations and just placate the ones who are trying to tell you anything.
Yeah, I knew you'd have some good advice there. Okay, so I mentioned earlier your podcast, Feel Goodery. It's feel good. Okay, I love that. So I was going through some of your episodes and I came across one where you were doing a rant. To know me is to know that I love a good, no hold barred kind of rant. It's got me in trouble every now and then, but my intentions are good. So I want to go through a couple things with you. One was the comment section on health and wellness post. I know you touched on this earlier, but what's your beef with that?
My beef is that typically, and it's typically people with larger followings, because I think, you know, when people have a really good community, like mm-hmm. your community and like my community, I don't get too much of this on my comments, but in reading the people that have like all the experts that have like, you know, 500,000 followers or a million, that those comment sections are wild. Yeah. And normally the comments will be like, this is a hoax. Supplements don't do a thing. This is snake oil. This is ridiculous. It's just extreme opinions with no real basis. And even if mm-hmm. there is, it just overloads people. So that frustrates me. And it frustrates me when I see experts in that comment section dismissing other experts. That's the bigger thing for me. Like, I know people are that aren't in the industry get overwhelmed and angry with all of the information, because when you think about it and you learn something that makes sense to you by this one expert, that's lovely. And I can see you getting frustrated when you learn something that is the opposite of that, because I was feeling good listening to this expert. So I understand that there's a need to vent and do that kind of comments. It's not great, but it's there. When there's experts who know what they're talking about to some degree, trolling other experts, That's when I really get my, I'm not sure if knickers in a twist is still something I can like, okay thing to say, but that gets my knickers in a twist.
Yeah. And you know, and I've seen it and you think, don't you know enough to know there's context here? And it's just like, everyone's trying, they get on you if you don't explain things and in their entirety, but it's impossible to do that the way everything, especially in health and wellness, is all connected. You can't go down a rabbit hole in a 90-second post or the number of words they let you put on a post. But I think, like, to me, it's like better to give people like the digestible information, like you said, than nothing at all, you know?
And it's funny because I can, from a livelihood perspective, I can understand the reasoning why they're doing that, because they tell you, and again with social media, if you've ever taken courses, they tell you to comment your opinion on major posts that are doing really, really well. So if there's an expert commenting on someone's post, other users are going to see this and go to the expert's Instagram page and follow them, and they get more business. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to make a livelihood and support yourself. So I understand.
Do you do that?
I don't.
No, neither do I. I mean, I see some of your posts, I want to say a whole shit ton, but I'm like, it's not my party. It's not my, I'm not hosting this. So I'm not going to come into your house and make it all about me. So I'm just like, oh, you know, I've commented a few times, like, this is cool, love this, whatever. But I'm not going to write this whole big thing to kind of get people from your page to come over to my page, because I'm just like, I'm not crashing his party. It's weird. I mean, you can come and do that on mine. I'll say hi.
I'll say hi, and this is great, and this is hilarious. And I think I've commented on that.
Let's just start doing it to each other.
In the good way. I would love that. I love the Livy Loser post, the one where they're calling out like birds. That video I loved. Oh my gosh, I watched that a few times.
We have fun.
But yeah, you don't have to do it, but it's just part of the way this algorithmic training social media, you can opt not to do it. And that's important, but it's very frustrating when, and even I get like, I'm not educated nearly as much as other people, but even I get confused with my way of thinking when I see that, because they're so extreme and they're so opinionated. It starts to kind of mess you up a little bit. It doesn't serve the greater good, which annoys me. It doesn't serve the greater good, because at the end of the day, people need to find what works for them, and different things work for different people. And there's no room for nuance in these comment sections.
Yeah, and people really are trying to make change. They really are trying to look for information. You know, it's not easy just to go to your healthcare provider. Some people don't have their own doctors. They're just kind of like, you know, searching in the dark, trying to find something to help them with this, help them with that, trying to understand this and try to understand that. And it's not helping when you just have, you know, a bunch of like people looking for clickbait or whatever. I'm watching the time. I need like 5 hours with you. Extreme documentaries. What are your thoughts on this? Because every time one comes out, someone's always asking me about, should I eat meat? Should I not eat meat? Should I do this? Should I do that? What's your thoughts?
documentaries are very well produced. I watch them and they some of them are wonderful and they really elevate good change. I always say with documentaries, you have to look at who's producing it. And here's the thing. The reason you make a movie or something is because you believe a certain way. And I understand that and respect that. But you do have to look at who's producing it, what finances are involved. A lot of times, a lot of these popular plant-based documentaries are in some way involved with Beyond Meat. So yes. there is a little bias. And it's not to say that the information isn't accurate to some degree, is just very heavily skewed. And what I don't like about a lot of these documentaries is it really is an either or thing. It's an extreme thing. You need to change everything and need to eat this way because this is the only way to thrive. And the thing with nutrition is there is not one way. So what annoys me about documentaries, because a documentary that basically says you need to do what's right for you, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, find what works, doesn't get viewers. So they're skewed for a reason. But it's frustrating. But when it comes to nutrition, and the reason that some diets work for some and some others, why plant-based works for some people for a period of time and not others, is that we are all individuals. Like we said, we have different genetics, we have different histories, we have different microbiomes, we have different traumas that we have in us, we have different energetics on a given day. So what works for one does not work for another. And it's really important to remember that when you're watching these documentaries. And it's if I had to say how I feel about them, they annoy me, but there is some good information. Like I don't support factory farming, which is a big thing for these documentaries, is awful. Yeah. It is terrible and it breaks my heart. So it's I'm not saying that of course is not awful. It's just I think they could be a little bit more nuanced with it. And
Well, the latest one about should you eat meat or plant, whatever, we know exactly which one I'm talking about there. And I was so excited to watch it because I thought they were actually going to have study actual outcomes. And then I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Why do we keep talking about plant protein over and over and over? Where's the other side of it? And at the end of it, I was like, oh, come on. Because I believe have you ever posted just plant proteins on your page and then just meat protein? Don't do it, because the plant people come after the meat post and the meat people come after the plant post. I don't even talk about it. I just am so neutral. I'm afraid.
Me too. No, it because you, there is no, there's no winning. There really isn't. And I don't do it for that reason. I got hate mail for talking about bee pollen on the morning show. That I was single-handedly killing the bees, and it hurt me because I don't receive a lot of hate mail. But I was like, "Geez, Louise, there's nothing there." And the bee pollen is sustainable. Like everything, I wouldn't recommend it if it wasn't a sustainable. I don't recommend something that's killing the bees. But it was just one of those things where I opt not to, because it's a very polarizing topic. You know, the carnivore diet, the plant based. You know, the lectins and the anti nutrients in plants, but the carnivore is bad for colon cancer. It's just it's frustrating to hell. It really is. So I know the documentary you're talking about, and I was the same. I was really excited. The whole first episode, I was excited. Yes. And then the second episode came and I was like, this is going really heavy into one kind of side. And I read the outcomes. I didn't finish watching it because Love Was Blind, something stupid was on. I'm kidding. But we have limited time, and I don't want to spend it watching a long commercial.
Yeah. Well, here, speaking of limited time, we do have to bring this to an end, but I'm going to have you come back. I'm sure there's some really fun rabbit holes that we can go down to. Sure. We could generate a lot of hate mail, you and I. I think we should make it our mission.
Our mission.
To see how much we can generate.
Sometimes I think about doing that just to help my people pleaser aspect, to work through it, to be like, you know what, fine. And have that freedom. Because when you get one or two or three pieces of hate mail, it hurts a little bit, but if you were to get a bunch of it, you kind of develop a callus. So part of me has always been tempted to develop that callus and go there.
You know what's same? You know what's interesting with me is I feel like, do you know Gary Vee? You follow Gary Vee? And I love him. He's swearing every 5 minutes. He's just so in your face. And sometimes I think I should be like that and set that precedent and then kind of function in the middle ground. Because then when you're not like that and you do kind of go there, it's people are like, whoa. Like, yeah. You know, so I always think I should have this alter ego. I want to work on an alter ego.
Well, now I don't know what it is, but now there's flip side of Instagram where I don't know exactly, but maybe that's your extreme side. Maybe just have that be your like, oh, she's going there. Lost her crap, but she's entertaining. She's great. I thought about that.
I did think about that, but then I thought maybe I'll just keep it to my family because you have to invite people. It's not like a public thing anyone can come and see. And okay. I don't know about the comments I would get on that, but I thought about it. Okay, before we go, we like to leave people with something to chew on. So what if you could say you're like one thing to the world right now, no pressure at all.
Oh, God, no, not at all.
What would it be?
This was a really great question, and I actually had a hard time thinking because you want to say so much, but thing I love talking about is the concept of all of us, we're all just big kids doing the best we can. So lead with grace and recognize that you deserve at a fundamental level to feel good, and if you're not feeling good, you owe it to yourself to get there.
Oh, I love that.
It was that or everybody poops. which is something I also love, but I chose the former.
Right? That's what I think. I think bathrooms are weird that way. Like, we're all so weird not talking to each other going in, and we're all in there going to the bathroom, and we should just be like, hey, how's it going? Like, how are you?
We're good. Exactly. You know? It's natural. And you think anyone is treating you like crap or anyone who thinks they're above you, imagine them on the toilet. Like, that's, I'm sorry. The face we all make when you have to put the phone down and make it, you know, concentrate. Imagine that face to anyone who's treating you like crap. Makes you feel great.
No pun intended. Kyle Buchanan, I absolutely adore you. Thank you for your time and the conversation today. So Feel Goodery is the podcast available on all podcast platforms, I'm assuming.
Yep. Wherever you find your podcast, Feel Goodery, all one word.
Okay. Website
is kylebuchanan.ca, and you can find me on Instagram at it's Kyle B, itskyleb.
I love it. Thank you again. Until next time. We have more to talk about. Okay. Thank you.
You're lovely. Thanks, Gina.
Bye. Once again, I'd like to thank our guest today on Chew the Fat, Kyle Buchanan. Did I not tell you, isn't he such a great guy? Wealth of knowledge. And I love his sense of humor and realness. You can find Kyle over on Instagram. It's Kyle B. You can also check out his website, kylebuchanan.ca, or you can listen to his podcast, which I had the pleasure of joining him on not too long ago. Feel Goodery, available on all podcast platforms.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.